Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the AC Report on this Halloween day. My name is AC DeNiro, and if you are listening, that means you want to talk some football and pick some winners. Now, today we will have the process I go through on how I handicap a given week of football, go through some of the games, and at the end I will break down the Breeders' Cup Classic, big horse race today. First, let's see, how did we do last week? Had a pretty good week, 5-2. Did lose our best bet with Arizona. They kind of disappointed. Washington State's had a pretty good year. Other than that, we had a pretty good week last week. This week we have our normal 7 games. 4 college, 3 pro with the best bet in college. Get them for free with a free trial. Just register at www.acdenaro.com. So let's see as we get started. Start off in college football. Another coach is out, Al Golden. Well, a couple of coaching changes. Al Golden is out of Miami. George O'Leary out at UCF. And one of the ones that was a little disappointing, Jerry Kill at Minnesota, had all those health problems. Finally had to retire because of that. So we lost three coaches in college football this week. And of note, Baylor quarterback Seth Russell out for the year. Now the question with Baylor is, does it really matter who the quarterback is? You know, is it the system or the quarterback? It seems to be the system. It's almost like next guy up, but we'll have to see how Baylor does, because the funny thing about the Big 12 is that it's backloaded with their schedule. You got Baylor, TCU, and Oak State, and they will all play each other in November. It's just funny how that part of the schedule worked out in that conference. Over in the NFL, a couple of teams that you just can't back until they start playing. One of them is Houston. I mean, it's an NFL. How an NFL team is down 41-0 at half without giving up a return is just mind-boggling. I mean, you just can't take that. And they're favored this week, and that's just unbelievable. That's just one of those things that a line tells you something. Is why is Houston favored? Yeah, I know they're playing Tennessee. Their quarterback is out. That came out late last night. No Marcus Mariota in that game. And the other one is Detroit. We had them last. I had them last week as a free play, thinking they were turning it around. I had the lead in that game and blew it. First and goal from the one, can't get it in. For all the love there is for throw and passing, you got to be able to run the ball. Detroit just can't run it. That would have been a cover in that game if they would have got it in. But the weird thing about Detroit is not so much their record. They fired some coaches on their offense, and it's their defense that's been awful. Their pass defense has been brutal, so that kind of makes no sense. So those two teams, you just have to, you know, either play against or pass to see how they go. Speaking of Houston, if you want to know why things are bad, A, why was Arian Foster in the game at the end there? It's 44-20. And I think that if you're trying to save your job as a coach, the NFL is smart enough to know the difference between 44-20 and 44-26 in the last minute of a game. They finally got rid of Ryan Mallett. I would not take this guy. This kid, if you want to know what cancer is, you know, metaphorically speaking, that is, don't insult people that have cancer, actual cancer, but it's just a guy you can't have around your team. I was telling a friend of mine, he's like a poor man's Ryan Leaf. And let me tell you, Ryan Leaf is poor. So that just tells you how bad this kid is. I would not take that kid on the team, on my team. Well, before the game on Thursday, usually interim coaches don't do much. It's usually to try and right a leaking ship. But Miami played pretty well. Now, granted, they weren't playing great teams at that point, and that showed on Thursday. It just got squashed. I think Miami is one of those teams, you know, that's an 8-8 or 9-7. They're like the Pitt Panthers of college. You can always expect that if they have a really good game, they'll follow it up with a really bad game and be mediocre. And that seems to be the Miami Dolphins. Looking at Carolina, an undefeated team. What I like about Carolina is they're playing old school football. Shoulder pads under chin straps, defense run the ball. They still need to hit some plays in the passing game. I think that's what will eventually get them. But solid team. when you play defense like that. Of course, I don't like the quarterback taking the hits, and that can eventually catch up. And then finally, the sleepers to watch in the NFL, kind of the ones that I've had in the beginning of the year, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Raiders. I think with the Rams, you have a team that's really good at the point of attack. And when they get their, you know, the playmakers are iffy. They have that Austin kid who's hit or miss. Seems like the only plays he makes are on end or outs. They got that girly kid, really good player. I remember him in college last year. I was like, this kid can be an NFL. I mean, a really good NFL. He reminded me of Peterson. And I want to tell you how good that Fournette kid is at LSU, because I think he's better than Gurley. And I thought a lot of Gurley last year. With the Vikings, you have a team that's playing pretty good defense as well. Kind of under the radar there at 4-2. Quarterback is getting better. Like to get see him get a little bit, show a little bit more, make some plays, but you know, when you're looking at that second wild card team in the NFC, I mean, right now it's them. Maybe somebody in the NFC East steps up, or the Rams, like I mentioned. But it's pretty possible that one of those two teams could be a wild card team in the NFC. And finally, you have the Raiders. Yes, the Raiders. Pretty good front seven. You know, they got a playmaker in Cooper. The quarterback's getting a lot better. Of the three that are from last year, Bortles, Bridgewater, and Carr, I think Carr has by far shown the most. And one of the reasons why I like the Raiders was their front seven, and I thought this Derek Carr could step up players. So I don't know if they're getting a playoff, because it's a little tougher in that league. And their division isn't bad. So that's what I saw from last week. So let's get started with the program. How I handicap, now this is mid-season, you know, when we, you know, as we get know what the teams are. Earlier in this year, I did my process and how the first month differed from, you know, the rest of the season. And I basically based that on my research going into the year. I didn't look at any numbers or anything like that. Still looked at the situations, you know, look ahead, sleep, you know, trap games and all that stuff. So in both cases, the situational analysis is the same. The difference is how you view the teams versus, you know, your preconceived motions that you have to stick with, because in college in particular, the rosters change so much, you really don't know. In the NFL, you can, it's kind of the same because they bring back a lot of the same players. So the first thing I do is obvious, is that I just print out a sheet with the matchups, and the list of the games, the spreads. And then I like to go through and I take a, you know, if I see a line that jumps out at me, something like that. So I go through the big games in more particular in college. I'll just highlight them because I talk about them on this program. But other than that, I'll go into each matchup. I use a site called teamrankings.com. That's pretty good. It has all their analysis together, everything I need. So when I look at a game, that's where I get the numbers from, you know, injuries, things like that. The stats I like to look forward to are on offense is yards per carry, yards per pass attempt, defense the same. Then you have third down, turnovers, penalties, you know, red zone and the kicking game. You don't want to forget that. Normally, I like to focus on the defensive teams. I mentioned in the last week's program, in college, it's a little different because, well, actually, the stat that matters the most is third down. And I kind of translate with the red zone. Teams that make plays on third down are the teams that are going to win, especially in the NFL. In college, you got to do a little bit closer because you could have a team that's not good on third down, but if they're hitting a lot of big plays or giving up a lot of big plays, third down may not matter. Not so much in the NFL because teams are more evenly matched. So I'll write down, look at my stats, you know, do a little comparison. I know, you know what is pretty good. I usually look, you know, if you're a team that's in the top third, in each category. I mean, most teams in all of them, they're going to have a spot where they're not really good. And I say not really good, but they're not in the top. But I like to focus on the defense, particularly the running game and third down. So in the running game, yeah, there are all these spreads, but still got the running game controls the tempo. If you're a tempo team and you're not hitting runs, And then you get an incomplete pass. Your defense comes on the field with a minute's rest, and that puts you in a bad spot. And we all like those video, or a lot of people like those video type plays. I don't. The defense is where the tickets are cashed. And as a handicapper, that's what we're looking to do. With turnovers, it's hard to predict turnovers because a lot of it's luck. But I like to combine them with the penalties. So if I have the negative and the turnovers and the penalties, and that team's on the road, there's no way I'm taking that team. But that's where that stuff really hurts you. So I keep out for that. With the red zone, the red zone kind of goes hand in hand with third down. That's the difference between a touchdown and a field goal, of course, which could be the difference in spread. And finally, the kicking game. Again, if you got a kicker who's missing, 40-yard field goals, that can be the difference of covering and not covering. So when you put all that together, I make my list of, for the first cut. And at this point of the year, I also have a list of teams that I won't take. And those are mostly ones that are bad defense. Teams that are giving up over 5 yards a carry in college and over 8 yards per pass. There's no way I'm taking a team like that in any situation, even if they're getting 28 points. Pros is probably more like 7 and 4.5. So far, there aren't any teams like that. The two I mentioned, Detroit and Houston, it's more of the way, it's not that they're bad teams. Houston, you can't trust the quarterback, but a few games from now, you could take them. A couple of weeks ago, Chicago was on that list. They looked brutal, and they turned it around and played some decent football. So after that, if I have a hard time filling up a schedule, I haven't had that so far. I look at that list, and I'll play against one of those teams. Now, then I like to look at the line and the movement. I did a program on the line earlier this year, and I'd like to see if it's, telling me something. I when I look at a game, I've been doing this long enough where I have a line in mind. And if it's off a little bit, I'll be like, wonder why that is. So I look, and then I look at the movement. I preferably I would like a line that doesn't move at all, but that's rare. Usually you get a half a point, even a point, that's okay. But if there's a line that moves a lot, I might get off that game. I just don't like seeing a lot of line movement. And then the old adage, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So if something looks so easy, take the other side or pass. You can almost do, it would be nice if you could do your whole handicapping that way, save yourself, the analysis part. There just aren't that many games a week where there's, an odd line. Then after I write down all the numbers, that's where I make my notes pertaining to that game, situational analysis, maybe they had a tough game last week, got a look ahead, weather, something like that, the situation notes. And last week I broke down what that percentage was. In the NFL, it's probably half and half between the fundamentals and the situation. In college, I put more on situation because of, much more emotion in the college game than the pros. And then I'll make my, go through and do the final cut. I always try to make a case for the underdogs. As we all know, everybody likes the favorites and the overs. Lines maker knows that too. So lines get inflated. One thing you want to watch for when, the national team's always going to have a few points added to their lines. Don't like playing big favorites, but at this point of the year, when we get to that last third in November, it could be. We'll probably start taking more favorites. This is where teams give up. Last week, for example, one of them was Houston over UCF. UCF is just having a horrible year. It was a big number of 3 touchdowns. But at that point, that's when you can start taking the big phase because teams are going through the motions. And that's it. That's how I prepare for each show. I go through every game. I do most of the colleges on Tuesdays, pros on Wednesdays. Then I have my decision, do the write-ups, make my notes for, this program. And speaking of which, we will get into this week's action. So let's start off Syracuse and Florida State. Syracuse, this line was 20. I didn't look at it lately because I wasn't taken this game, but because Delvin Cook, the fine Florida State running back, is out for this game. And if you've been watching Florida State, kind of a one-dimensional team. I mean, when they lost that game to Georgia Tech last week, he didn't have a big game. They couldn't score. They had one touchdown, and that was because of return set it up on the two-yard line against the Georgia Tech defense. It wasn't stopping anybody. They have Clemson next. Part of this might be cautionary, but you look at the numbers for Florida State. They're not bad. Except for third down, only 40%. They just seem not to make key plays. I think that's the problem with Florida State. Or they make the key play just enough to squeak by a team you think they should smoke. Taking on a Syracuse team, you know, it's been playing with a backup quarterback for most of the year. Hunt got knocked out early. Struggling on defense, particularly against the pass, 8.5 yards per pass. Even though with the backup quarterback, their offense isn't bad. I'm still going to go with Florida State in this game, you know, ever so slightly, but I would pass on this game. It's not a game I would take. Mississippi and Auburn. Mississippi did the ship last week. Played really good defense against a pretty good A&M offense. Tough two games for A&M. Playing Alabama and Ole Miss, you know, two tough physical defenses. But here, Ole Miss, you know, Ole Miss is one of those teams that looks really good statistically in offense and defense. So you get the third down, only 40% on offense, 45% on defense. It seems like when you look at the numbers, how that happens, they're just not making that many key plays. You know, not great in the red zone, turning the ball over a little. You know, it's not, you know, committing silly penalties. Taking on an Auburn team that's, you know, kind of having a tough year. Yeah, they're still 4-3. It's not the worst, but for their expectations, it is tough. They came from behind nicely against Arkansas, only to lose in overtime. You know, rush defense, giving up 5 yards a carry. You know, 47% on third down. We'll stay at home with Auburn, getting a little over a touchdown in this game. South Carolina, A&M. South Carolina comes in off the bye. It'll be their interim coach. They will be looking for a head coach. But, you know, defense, another thing. They look like Auburn a little bit. If you look at the stats, 5 yards a carry on defense, not good. And a very bad team on third down, only 34% on offense, you know, 41% on defense. They don't beat themselves with mistakes. That's one thing going for them. Taking on an A&M team, like, as I mentioned, had this two tough physical games with Alabama and Ole Miss. I think they will get it together and play well at home this week and probably beat Carolina by, you know, 3 touchdowns. I think they can get this game, cover the line. Moving on to Iowa and Maryland. Maryland, another team with an interim coach. Edsel was let go a few weeks ago. And really having trouble in the passing game. Only 5.5 yards per attempt, giving up 8 against the pass. Only converting 29% on third down. You know, they make a lot of mistakes. It's hard to, even though it's 17, that Iowa's having a solid year. Now, a little bit of a bullseye on the Hawkeyes back. Still undefeated. Still flying under the radar. I don't think there's any question about that, but a pretty solid team. When you look at statistics, especially on defense, little injury bug in their backfield. Their top running back is banged up. But there's only one way to go in this game, and that is Iowa. Moving on to Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. Oklahoma State, you know, still undefeated. There's a team that we liked in the beginning of the year with a lot of guys back, but they have been untested. Like I said, with all the Big 12 teams, seems like those four are back-ended. You know, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Baylor, and Texas, they'll all play each other in the final month. So that will sort itself out. Statistically, like I said, Oklahoma State looks really good, but again, untested. They take on a Texas Tech team that's actually easy to handicap. Really good on offense, really bad on defense. I didn't even have to put numbers in my notes. Offense good, defense bad. That's the way it's because the numbers are that good and are that bad. In this case, we'll go with Oklahoma State on the road as a small favorite. It's a team that, you know, can probably beat a Baylor or a TCU. I don't know if they'll beat both. I didn't see where those games are. But I like this Oklahoma State team, and I think they'll win this game at Texas Tech. Clemson, NC State. Clemson, you know, had that big win at Miami, spread or 58-0, got the coach finally fired. This is a team, one of those teams that I'm not sure can play with the expectations. A lot of people are talking to them CFP, and if they were to go undefeated, they'll be in there. But they're kind of schizophrenic sometimes, and even though everything looks solid, they have talent, pretty decent coach. They have Florida State next week, so they could be looking ahead in this game. Coming off that big win, I do see a little bit of a flat spot. Taking on a decent NC State team, played some pretty good defense of their own. Three and a half per rush, you know, 5.5 per pass, only 29% on third down. Don't beat themselves with mistakes. I think they're going to really battle Clemson in this game, and Clemson is going to be fortunate to get out of the game with a win. It's a double-digit spread, so NC State, I think, looks pretty good, plus the 10. Last week, I said on this program that I didn't think Clemson and Florida State would both get out with wins. I would not be surprised if Clemson did not get out of this game with a win or have to make a play late to win. That's how tough a game I think it's going to be for them. Oklahoma and Kansas. Kansas is arguably the worst Power 5 team in college football. They've done nothing this year to change that. So when you look at Kansas, they're one of those teams on my list you either go against or pass the game. Big number, 38 points. Oregon State and Utah. Oregon State's in a major rebuild this year. So few starters. Terrible on third down. Big number getting 24 points. Taking on a Utah team that kind of got exposed. I mean, USC, that was talk about a line telling me something. That game was almost 7 by kickoff. They were just begging you to take Utah. And we can see how that happened. I don't see anything quite that obvious in college this week. Utah, I mean, they're not a bad team. If they win, they have a chance to be in the playoffs. It's a good league, a one-loss Pac-12 team, I think, will be in the college football playoff. So we'll go with Utah in this game. Big number against a Oregon State team that is not very good this year. Notre Dame and Temple. It was nice to see. I'm from the Philly area, so watched a little game day ahead of time. It's nice to see the enthusiasm for the Owls in this game. I will pat myself on the back, one of my sleepers this year. So if you want to look at probably the team I was most right on, and would probably be Temple. I didn't think they'd be 7-0. I did think they would lose that Penn State game, but I'm not surprised they're playing well because their defense is outstanding. It's an experienced team. They have the kid Walker, who had a bad year last year, and I thought he would play well this year, and he has, and that's why Temple's doing well. Now, their schedule is backloaded as well. They got this game, Memphis, and Houston. Notre Dame comes in off the bye. I think when Notre Dame scheduled this game, it was like, oh, yeah, this will be a rest game. I believe they have Stanford still to play this season. But it's going to turn out to be a resume builder for them, a road win against the top 25 team. If they can win, they're still alive for the playoff. As much as I'm happy to see Temple play well, I just don't know how they can match up with the talent and size of Notre Dame. So we'll go with Notre Dame in this game. And even though it's at Temple, there will be some decent Notre Dame crowd there. I think that's one of the reasons why they played this game. Notre Dame is popular in that part of the country. And they'll have, you know, when things go well from them in that game, you'll hear some cheers. There will be some Notre Dame people there, no doubt. And then final game on the board before I get to the free play, Stanford and Washington State. Stanford, one of those teams, you know, looked awful that first week against Northwestern. But since then, have tuned it up. I think you have to put in the fact that it was a 12 noon start, first game of the year for that West Coast team. They were up at 4 o'clock in the morning for some reason and just never woke up in that game. But they're playing pretty well right now. You know, good defense, physical football. Quarterback's playing well, Hogan. Taking on a Washington State team that's a surprising 5-2. Their defense isn't great. So they're making the key plays. Because on third down, 48% on third down is pretty good, giving up 46%. But I think they're going to be overmatched physically in this game, get pushed around, and we'll go with Stanford in this game. So before we go on to the pros, we'll give our free play of the week in college. It will be in the cocktail party, Florida and Georgia. I'm going to go with Georgia in this game. Both teams coming in off a bye. Florida with the backup quarterback, Georgia without Chubb. Pretty much mirror images of each other. If you look at a statistically solid defense, I mean, really good defense, Florida needs this game to stay alive for the playoffs. Georgia needs to stay alive in the East for the SEC. Outside chance, if they were to run the table with two losses, that they could get into the playoff. I'm going to go with Georgia in this game. I know they've had their troubles with Florida recently, but I think they're going to get it together and play well in this game and win the cocktail party. Now let's move on to... You know what? I realized that I missed a page of football here. There's a couple more games that I need to go through. My bad, guys. And my page is out of order. Vanderbilt and Houston was one of them. Houston looking to play in the New Year's Six. They can win out. Actually, the next two games on here are Houston and Memphis. They still have to play each other. Vanderbilt's not that bad a team. In any other conference, they'd be, certainly a bowl contender, but in the league they're in, doesn't set up well. Houston, really good statistically, but I'm not sure they're good enough to be laying double digits to an SEC team that's playing defense. So we'll go with Vanderbilt in that game. Tulane and Memphis. Tulane is just brutal on offense, giving up 9 yards per pass. They're looking at a 31-point spread. Memphis, again, like Houston, needs to keep winning for that New Year's Six bid. Seen some things on their quarterback being a pretty high first-round pick. I was thinking to myself, what does the NFL think of this quarterback from Memphis? And, well, one of them, well, again, it's online with CBS, had him going second overall. I'm not so sure about that because I think he's probably a little bit of a project. But we'll go with Memphis in this game. Unlike Houston, they are playing a team that, plays defense. And Memphis is in a spot, playing for style points, need to keep their foot on the pedal. So we'll go with Memphis in final game, Michigan and Minnesota. This will be Michigan's first game against that brutal loss against Michigan State, coming in off the bye. They're playing the horrible way, physical football, the way Saban plays at Alabama. Well, actually, a lot of the SEC teams, the way Stanford plays. And I think that's good for going to get you a lot of winning tickets. But playing a Minnesota team is probably going to be a little more motivated now that their head coach was forced to retire. Not that they were anyway. They're playing Michigan, playing a really good defense of their own. I mean, I'm looking at the totals in this game. I can't remember the last time I saw a college game in the 30s. This game is 39. So in a defensive struggle like this, and you're getting two touchdowns, take the points with Minnesota. Now we'll get on to the NFL. We will start San Diego and Baltimore, both teams in disarray. Baltimore about a 3-point favorite. San Diego, you would think that they needed that division game last week and just played awful. Defense isn't playing well. 5 yards per pass, or 5 yards per run, almost 8 per pass. And I'm doing bad on third down. But what that tells me, I mean, I'm giving up 35%, but obviously they're giving up a lot of big plays. That's making third down irrelevant. Making mistakes, turning the ball over. Same with Baltimore. Their run defense ain't bad, but their pass defense isn't very good. They're not hitting much plays on offense. Brutal on third down. 34% on offense, 47% on defense. I can't remember the last time I saw a Raven team like that. When you're in a spot like this where you don't like either team, I guess you'd be forced to take the points. I would not play this game, though. Small, ever so small lead on San Diego. Tennessee and Houston. For a while, this game was not on the board because of the quarterback, Mariota. He will not play. If you're going to lay points with Houston, you deserve to lose your money. It's a game I would not touch with a 10-foot pole. Moving on to Detroit and Kansas City. London game, another 9:30 start. So if you want this game, get it in today. Like I mentioned earlier with Detroit, this is a team that you fade until proven otherwise. Not playing well on defense, firing some coaches, long travel, taking on a KC team that got a much-needed win against Pittsburgh. Probably one of the worst red zone teams in the NFL, because when you look at the stats, they're not that bad. Yeah, the pass defense is a little suspect, but they don't make any plays on third down. But we'll go with Kansas City laying the 4 points in this game. A little surprising that the lines come down a little bit. I'm wondering a little bit why people are betting Detroit, but I think I saw 5.5. It's down to 4. But we'll go with the Chiefs in that game. Minnesota and Chicago. Minnesota with that nice division road win at Detroit. Can they do it again on the road again? Taking on a Chicago team that looked dead in the water, you know, coming off the bye. Bye teams have done very well this year so far. Showed some life, you know, winning 2 of their last 3. Had great opportunity in that Detroit game. Gave up a late score. Ended up losing. Yeah, defense isn't that great. Probably not as bad as I expected. I thought the defense would be worse. We'll go with the Chicago in this game. Actually, I think I've seen the line switch to, you know, from Chicago +2 to Chicago -1. So we'll go with Chicago in that game. St. Louis and San Francisco. Didn't quite put San Fran in that same category that I have Detroit and Houston, but they're really close there. They are in disarray. You know, defense is struggling, not making plays on third down. I think their quarterback stinks, Kaepernick. It's hard to take a team with that playing quarterback. They are getting 8 points, though. Taking on a Ram team that, like I said, I think this team can be a playoff contender. Really good at the point of attack, running the ball well. You know, they need to make some plays on third down, though, only converting 29%. We'll see if that gets better now that Gurley is becoming a big part of the offense. We'll go with the Rams in this game. New Orleans and the Giants. Giants come in off of 2 division games. You know, they split, lost to the Eagles, beat the Cowboys. They have the lead in that division, taking on a, you know, Saints team that kind of looked dead in the water, but they picked it up a little bit, won their last 2 games against the Colts and the Falcons. Don't like either of these teams' defenses. Kind of seems like a low number for a total at 49. Talking about a line that I think that line would be in the 50s. It's almost like they're begging you to take the over, which makes me think under in that game. We'll go with the Saints in this game. I think that there'll be a little bit of a flat spot for the Giants going on the road after two division games. Atlanta and Cleveland. Oh, it's not Atlanta. Sorry, that's Arizona and Cleveland. Cleveland is one of the tougher games on the board. I really wanted to take Cleveland, but it looks like it's going to be Johnny Manziel at quarterback, and the way I would back that guy until proven otherwise. So, ever so slightly, I mean, it's a short week for Arizona, coming off that Monday night game. So, but if I had to take anybody in this game, I would take Arizona. Atlanta and Tampa Bay. What happened to that big, powerful Atlanta offense last week? Scored 10 points, but they won. That's what counts. Actually playing some decent defense. I mean, the defense has been brutal, but when you look at the numbers, you know, 3.7 per run, 6.8 per pass, that's not super, but it's not the normal 7.5 you're used to seeing. Only 39% on third down. You know, it's a really good third down team. I think their offense will probably get it together in this game. Taking on a Tampa team that's, you know, coming off as a battle loss. I mean, a 24-point lead, second-half lead at Washington. That's the kind of team they are. They're an up-and-down, a young team with a young quarterback that makes mistakes. I guess you'd have to go with Atlanta here. You don't like to lay, you know, more than a touchdown in a division game. It's a team that can score a little bit, but we'll go with Atlanta in this game. Jets in Oakland. No, I've been high on Oakland. Normally, it's the kind of spot you would jump on, but I think we're going to go with the Jets in this game. You know, both teams are a little bit of a surprise, especially the Jets. I didn't think the Jets would be anything this year. Oakland, you know, had a big road division win. Are they consistent? The thing about Oakland is, you know, you're reading some good press, you know, playing some decent football, kind of like Miami was going into this week, reading their own, feeling good about themselves, and then they lay an egg. And I think that could happen in this game for Oakland. I know it's a road game. You know, I don't like road favorites. Jets coming off a, you know, tough division game against New England, but their defense is the best in the NFL. Playing good third down, I think they'll do enough to win this game at Oakland. Green Bay and Denver, both teams coming off a bye. Green Bay was my Super Bowl pick. Again, nothing to change that. Taking on a Denver team. Quarterback is struggling. I didn't think you'd ever say that with Peyton Manning, but it's true. Their offense is doing next to nothing this year, but their defense is one of the best in the NFL. And I think they will find a way to pull out a tight home win here against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Here's another line that switched a little bit. Opened at Cincy 2. Now, switch to Pittsburgh, given one. Even though Cincinnati's coming off a bye, and if they win this game, pretty much put that division away unless they tank. And I obviously going to be thinking better than that. They're going to be thinking one seed, certainly a bye. But in a division that was supposed to be one of the most competitive and best in football, but, you know, halfway through the year, Halloween, they could put it away with a win. That's tells you what kind of year they're having, but not playing great against the run, almost 5 yards a attempt. And that's where I think Pittsburgh will get them here. You know, Pittsburgh are respectable 2-2 without Roethlisberger. He will be back, and I think they will be able to run the ball in Cincinnati. They're averaging 4.7 per pass, pretty good offense. Their pass defense isn't great, and without Roethlisberger, the third down has struggled of late, but, you know, Pittsburgh needs this game so badly, you know, and then we'll go with the Steelers at home in this game. Colts and Carolina, what happened to this Colt team? But they're still alive in that terrible division. I mean, 7-9 might win that division. Can't run the ball, or can't run it when they need to run it. Giving up plays in the passing game, you know, turning the ball over, surprisingly. Kicking game isn't great, making penalties. Taking on a Carolina team, it's another team that's probably looking at its, you know, feeling good about themselves, playing really good defense. You know, run defense is 4.3 ain't great, but 5.3, it's hard to throw the ball on this team. Make enough plays to win games. I think they'll be a little flat in this game after Sunday Night Football. Yeah, they're playing on Monday night again, but I think the Colts will be able to cover the 7-point spread. So that leaves us with our free play in the NFL, which will be the Seattle Seahawks at Dallas. Like Seattle in this game, they need this game. And Dallas needs a game too, but they're just not that good. You know, they played decent last week in the Giants. The injuries, you know, just add up, you know, as the season goes on. You can cover for injuries for a couple of games. But once you get, you know, four games in, your depth is hurt. That Dallas defense, which I didn't think was good even last year, but the offense was perfect. They didn't make mistakes, made teams drive the field, and it covered up a lot of warts. That's not happening this year. Their defense is being exposed for what it is, average at best. I don't even think it's average. They're taking on a Seattle. Ceiling is ready to start rolling. Had that win, division win at San Fran. Still a pretty good defense, even though they weren't making plays when they need to. I think they're going to start rolling, when they're going to put together, you know, a 4 or 5 game winning streak and look like the Seattle of old. So we'll go, even though, you know, 6 points on the road, we're going to go with the Seahawks. So that leaves us with the race. If you like the horses, I will give you my take on how I see the Breeders' Cup Classic panning out. Now, one thing we have, there's a couple of notes in here. Yeah, the race took a big hit in terms of, you know, the excitement, because Beholder, the filly, was scratched. She will not race in this race. And she was definitely Zenyatta-like. I mean, she was a really, really good horse. She was second choice at 3-1, but she's out. This other horse, Liam's Map, that I was hoping to see in this race, they bred him in the dirt mile instead. He did win that race yesterday. So it's not really that strong a field. When I look at this, when you look at a Breeders' Cup Classic, you're looking for, you know, the best horses in the out there. I mean, there's only going to be 9 horses in this race. I mean, even 10 is not that big. One of them is a horse from Ireland, Glen Eagles. Don't know anything about him. You know, some of the big horses that you were hoping would be in it, you know, Palace Malice, Shared Belief, California Chrome, you know, all injured, so they are not in this race. If those 3 horses were in this race, it would have been a great race. But that leaves us with the ones we have. Obviously, you have American Pharoah trying to end his career with the Grand Slam. He's the only speed horse in this race. When I look at this setup, you have Pharoah and then this other horse, Smooth Roller, you know, lightly raced horse. It's odd that they're going to take a shot in a race like this. But other than that, you know, I think he'll try and push Pharoah a little bit. Frost had tried that in his last race and faded. I don't see him doing that again. So when I look at this race, you know, halfway through, I think American Pharoah will be having it his way, controlling the pace up front. Then all the other horses will be bunched in there. There's really only one closer in this race, Keen Ice. So I don't think it sets up well for him. You know, he ran down Pharoah in their last race. But there was a pretty fast pace in that. I don't think it'll be that fast. I mean, if this pace was for a half mile under 47.5, I would be surprised. And there's some good horses in here. Tonus is a nice horse. Honor Code is a really nice horse. He's never gone a mile and a quarter. That makes me a little, you know, worried whether he can, you know, get the distance. You know, it's really hard to see a big payout in that. You know, you always like to bet superfectas in races like this, but it's not a big field. I just don't see any way how American Pharoah does not win this race. I think he'll have his way and he'll pull away at the end. There might be a few horses making a run. So I think he'll win. Totalist is a solid horse. He always hits the board, always shows up. I think he'll probably finish second. I think he'll certainly hit the board. Code, I think, will hit the board as well. And then finally, I think Keen Ice will pass the other horses. So there's your superfecta. American Pharoah, Tonalist, Honor Code, Keen Ice. Not going to be a big payout, obviously. If you're looking for a long shot, you know, there's 2 on here. You got this Hard Aces and FNX. Another thing I noticed in this race that made it hard to handicap is not many horses have A, run on this track, and they're not having many recorded, you know, training runs. I hate that when you can't. You just don't know if a horse is going to like the surface, especially in a place like Keeneland that just changed it from all weather to dirt. Beholder was the only one, but she's out. So that makes this race kind of hard to handicap. So if you're looking for a sleeper, if you want to try and hit a payout, you know, you can probably take Keen Ice out, put Hard Aces in, and then maybe, you know, if American Pharoah doesn't win and finishes like fourth, there could be a decent payout, but definitely one of those Breeders' Cup Classics that's not going to have a big payout. So I like Pharoah, Tonalist, Honor Code, and then if you want to take a shot with Hard Aces and Keen Ice fourth. So that will do it for the program this week. I hope you enjoy the race and the football, and then when we come back next week, now getting into the big month of football, a lot of, you know, that old people are saying, well, if this playoff started today, I even saw one that said, well, if the BCS was today, who cares? There's nothing to write about. Well, if the BCS started today, it'd be LSU and Clemson. Oh, who cares? What they do, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of big games in November. They always do it at this year. You know, we have 12 undefeated teams, which is you know, there were only four at this point last year. So, you know, well, what happens if we have five undefeated teams? Like I said, all those Big 12 teams are playing each other. LSU and Alabama play next year, next week. Now, Alabama's not undefeated, but I mean, a lot of these undefeated teams all have tough games. Temple, Memphis, Houston all play each other. Or at some point, because they do have conference championship games. So if you'd like to follow me on Twitter at @AC_Denaro or Facebook, AC Denaro, you can email me at admin@acdenaro.com if you want to see something covered on a future program. Of course, you can always get my free, you know, first week's picks for free with a 7-day trial. Just register on the website. Always have the free picks up. You know, usually, and if you follow me on Twitter, that's where I give my little updates. You know, and things like yesterday I would tweet, you know, Mariota's not playing, things like that. Yeah, but you're hearing it on this program. But if you don't get a chance to listen to the program, you can get some of my news and tidbits that I will post on Facebook and Twitter, mostly Twitter. Have a free report, what the sports books don't want you know, want you to know, what I have in that. It's basically a lot of things I cover as my topic of the week. So get them all in a nice PDF file if you don't want to go back and listen to the first, you know, 15 minutes of each program. Need a sports book. I like the Bovada. They're pretty good. And our guarantee is that if you do sign up, if we don't make money, next year will be free. That's on the, you know, yearly packages. If you end up getting like a weekly or a monthly, it's that if we don't show it, we'll carry you until we do. And hopefully you will join me as we build our bankroll one game at a time, because remember, it is a grind, not a sprint. If you're looking for a big hit, you're on the wrong side. You need to be the sports book, not the investor, because it's hard. Those guys are good with their lines. You know, we're looking for 54% to 56%. That's a good year. You know, 60% on the best bets is what you're shooting for. But even then, I mean, that's a good year, not a early retirement type year. It's very difficult to do that in, you know, betting on football. It's not, there is a reason why the sports books and casinos, you know, if you've ever been in one, are as lavish as they are. Remember, you know, my picks are verified on handicapperswatchdog.com, so that it's very easy for, you know, handicapper to go out and say something they had after the game that's not, may or may not be totally accurate. That's why if you're looking at a handicapper, you want to make sure that they're verified. I have a link on my homepage that you just click if you wanted to see what my record was. And hopefully we will see you next week. Have a great Halloween and enjoy the football. It should be an exciting final month of college, and we'll be getting into the second half of the NFL. So enjoy the football and have a great week.